Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
For those that don't know me, I have been married to my husband for 35 years, which is very, very exciting. And we have three amazing adult children. And I'm biased, but I think they are amazing. As Pastor Christian said, I oversee the Next Steps and Discipleship area, and I have the privilege and the honour of coordinating the Bloom Women's Ministry for Pastor Georgie. So I get to love my life. I love what I do, and I love ministering to the women in the house to see them restored, healed, live in freedom, and live all the, all the fullness of God that He has for them. So let's get to this word. And it's celebrating you today. It's a constant reminder, yeah? There are streamers over you. I'm thinking about today, and I'm thinking about how we celebrate the women. And so often we'll get up as mums and we'll get cute cards from our kids, and we get all the happy Mother's Day well wishes, and we get breakfast in bed, and then we get to go out to lunch afterwards and enjoy spending time with our families. But I'm very mindful today that for some people, that it's not a celebration day. It's a reminder of maybe some pain and some hurt. And so today, I really just want to acknowledge the people that are here today. And if you've lost a mother, and today Mother's Day is not a great day for you, or if you've lost a child and you're thinking about them and you're grieving the loss of your child, or perhaps you're here and you're a single person and you're longing for family of your own and it doesn't feel great, because it's a reminder of that. Maybe you've got infertility and you're desiring and longing for a child of your own. We see you. We see you. Your Father sees you. So before we get into the word, let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you for the women and the mothers and the daughters and the grandmothers and all of the sons in this house today. I thank you that you are a God that celebrates your people, Lord God, and you celebrate the women in this house, Lord God. I thank you for that. But I also am so grateful, Lord God, that you are a God that comforts the grieving. And so I pray that for those that are grieving today, Lord God, on grieving a loss, I pray that you would comfort them with your presence today. And Lord God, I just pray that you would divide this word up in 400 different ways, Lord God, that every person would hear your word exactly as you intended for them to hear it. Break it up, Lord God, that they would hear it, receive it, acknowledge it, and allow the transforming work of the Holy Spirit to work within them, that they would know your love and your goodness and your kindness, in the mighty name of Jesus. So I was a wild child, and I feel sorry for my husband sometimes because he gets to experience the wild Michelle that wants to do things and have fun in probably ways she shouldn't. I remember as a six-year-old, climbing to the top of a swing set in the backyard, thinking that I was Superman and I wanted to fly off it. So I did. I jumped off and I broke my wrist and I landed in the hospital and had a cast on. 2 months after the cast came off, I thought, I still can fly. I'm going to try again. And so this time I climbed on top of the fence and I jumped off and broke my wrist again and had another cast on. I have broken all but two fingers through the many years of netball because I throw myself completely into it. When I was born, I had a dislocated hip and then was in a brace for many months. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, right from birth, I was like, I'm going to live this life and I'm going to wrestle with this life. And I was that girl that was 16 years old and had a drum kit and was playing in the band because I wanted to be the girl that was like the boys, yeah? And I also was the 12-year-old girl that was setting on fire things on fire because it was fun, yeah? Who knows, that's not fun. But for me as the 12-year-old, it was definitely fun. I also remember the times when my parents would wake me and my sister up and they would say, get up, get ready, we're going on an adventure. I have always loved adventure. And so often we can seek for adventure in all the most amazing and beautiful ways, but other times, if you're like me, you've sought it out in the wrong ways. But God has made us for adventure. He has adventure waiting for each of us, and if we are willing to say yes, and if we are willing to go, can you hear him respond? Can you hear him whispering? He wants your response. Get up, darling. get up my daughter, get up my son, we're going on an adventure. Sometimes we hear the whisper and we look into the word and we're like, we need encouragement and the courage to go on that adventure. And so we look at the scriptures about David and his slingshot, or we'll look at what the word where it says about Peter walking on the water, or Esther who boldly approached the king and saved her people, or Deborah, the influential judge who helped deliver Israel from bondage. And in celebrating women on Mother's Day, we cannot go past the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who carried, birthed, and mothered the Son of God. Let's read in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting was this. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was unable to conceive is now in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your will to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." And as a result of that, what Mary encountered, she couldn't help but praise God. And so in verse 46, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of this humble state of this servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." And then we see in verse 56 that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. When we look at the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, she is probably one of the most recognized and influential women in the Bible. Mary lived in the city of Galilee named Nazareth, and this is the first time we hear about this location of Nazareth being mentioned in the Bible, and why Jesus is then identified on the cross as Jesus of Nazareth. She was a virgin, and the scholars say that she was probably in her early to mid-teens. In verse 28, the angel told Mary that she is highly favored, that the Lord is with her, and that she is blessed. Throughout Mary's life, we see a woman of courage, immense faith, of tenderness, of strength, and we also see a woman who said yes. We see a young girl who said yes. In Mary, we see a woman who understands that the adventure does not lie within her own story. It doesn't lie within her own story, but rather the adventure revolves around his story. And we see in verse 31 where it says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Jesus would be the son of Mary. She would know him as her son, but he would also be known as the Son of God. She couldn't claim him as only her own. And because Mary was a woman of the word, Mary knew that the angel had actually quoted Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Because Mary had already made him Lord of her life, when the angel came to her and said that, she knew that, oh my goodness, I know what's going to happen on the other side of this conception, because she knew the word, but she still responded with a yes. And so when she encountered the angel, the word tells us that she was greatly troubled, and the angel told her not to be afraid, and then he told her she was going to conceive out of wedlock. And perhaps you're here today and you're celebrating women and you're tuning out, and we're celebrating women and you're tuning out. And I'm not just talking to the men, I'm talking to the girls too. Sometimes we tune out when we make it about the women of the house and about the women of God. And I did that too. That's why I know that. Because I was a tomboy growing up. You heard some of my stories already. I was a tomboy. I thought that God, the guys had so much more fun. So I wanted to be like them. And I would look to God's word for encouragement. And really, I would look to scriptures like David in his slingshot. I wouldn't look to verses in the Bible that were about the women of God. And I struggled to have relationship with women. And I often felt overlooked, not seen, and rejected. But you know, I think about my own parents and I think about them and how they conceived me in 1969, and it was out of wedlock. And I think about how my mum heard the news that she was pregnant as a teenager, and all she could do at the time was think about how could she abort me? How could she hide and cover up the shame that she felt because she was pregnant out of wedlock? And so as she was planning and preparing for that, she spoke to her mum. And my grandmother convinced her to keep me. So as you can see, I am here. I have not been aborted. And over the years, God has shown me his heart for me, and he has healed me and restored me and my relationship with women, because I discovered the most beautiful one, Jesus. And I discovered this adventure with Jesus. And as a result, he healed me. And now the women in my world, I can love them freely and let them love me freely. Perhaps you're here today and you're thinking about the news that you've received recently, and maybe you've not fallen pregnant and it wasn't in the right time. Maybe you've heard a health report and you're desperately needing God to heal you. Maybe you heard news that you've lost your job and you're wondering, what is this going to look like for you? Maybe you didn't get into the course that you had so longed for. Maybe you heard that your parents are getting divorced, or maybe you've heard the news that your spouse wants to separate. But whatever news you've just heard, today be reminded that just as the angel said, Mary, do not be afraid, you have found favor with God. God is also saying to you, do not be afraid. Do not be filled with the shame or the fear or the anxiety, because he celebrates you. Instead, be filled from the inside out to all the fullness of his grace and his mercy and his love and his anointing within your life. Be filled with the one who brings restoration, not his own. He's just not restoration. He is restoration. Yeah? He's not just goodness. He is goodness. He's not just kindness. He is kindness. Be filled with the one who is truth. Be filled with the one who doesn't just carry beauty, but is beauty. Let his light shine on you and shine into the dark places. Let him fill you with all the fullness of the kingdom of God within you. And respond to the whisper when he says, get up, darling, we're going on an adventure. And so today, this message, as you can probably tell, is not going to be a three-point sermon, but rather I'm going to take you on a journey where hopefully you discover the adventure of Jesus and you open your heart as we speak into it, and you completely have this revelation that God is good, that he is loving and he's kind and he lives and dwells on the inside of you. So perhaps one of the most recognizable scriptures in this Luke passage is the one found here in Luke 1 verse 34. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Being someone that often felt overlooked and overshadowed and not seen and all those things, that word overshadowed was not a good word for me. It had negative connotations, because for me, who would want to be hidden and not seen? But in the kingdom of heaven, to be overshadowed means that we have found favor with God. And every time the word overshadows appears in the word of God, it signifies a work of the Holy Spirit to God's favor. And on two separate occasions, in Mark 9:8 and Luke 9:34, the word overshadowed was used to describe when the Holy Spirit was sent to affirm God's love for his son, Jesus. Maybe you're like me, and often you've wondered, why on earth did God choose Mary? What did she do that was so great that would draw his attention to her for her to be impregnated with the Son of God? And I find it interesting about Scripture that up until the angel met with Mary, we actually don't know that much about Mary. And I love that because it highlights that in choosing her, he was not choosing her based on her performance and what she was doing for him. But it was, he is after a people of God that choose to respond to him when he comes. How many of us, when taken completely off guard with an angel rocking up on your front, you know, in your house and says, I'm going to impregnate you, you're going to conceive the Son of God, would respond with such humility and grace? I think about myself in this and in preparing this message, when Pastor Christian said that I would be up here today speaking, my response and my attitude was not one of humility and grace. It looked a lot more like, are you kidding me? Do you want to get someone else? I think about Mary and her response, she didn't say, oh, just can I have a think about that? Can you just give me five? Can I just go to the toilet and I'll be back in a minute? She didn't say any of that. Instead, she simply said in verse 38, may it be to me as you have said. When God overshadows someone, it represents an intimate encounter with God. And it is experienced when our spirit is willing, accepting, vulnerable, and available. God wants to speak to you and your circumstances too. And he longs for you to capture the essence of his heart as you worship him. Because it's in this place that we conceive the truth of God's heart for us. Because when we choose to worship our way through the situations that fill us with fear and anxiety and we press into the presence of God, we position ourselves for God to overshadow us. And that's where he changes our life and our circumstances from the natural and we see the supernatural in it. God works in the realm of impossibilities. When Mary heard the announcement from the angel, she allowed herself to be vulnerable by fearlessly asking, how will this be since I am a virgin? And that question alone reveals that Mary knew the word of God and her knowledge of the word. And she knew that as a result of saying yes and in her response, that she could face being rejected not only by her family, but also by her fiancé. She even risked death by stoning because by law back in those days, there was death to those in her situation. As we can read in Luke 1:30, and she courageously placed her trust in God and moved toward faith. Also, her physical yes was a response to God. She said yes to allowing her physical world to change. When the path before you is unknown, can I encourage you to trust God and to surrender to him? Trust God when things are going well and you know what the next steps look like. But trust him even more greatly when you don't know what the next steps look like. Trust him. He has an incredible plan. When you're not sure how to move forward, trust him in the whisper when he says, get up, darling. Get up, my son. Get up, my daughter. We're going on an adventure. In Mary's yes, she had embraced being overshadowed. And embraced the adventure that was literally going to grow inside of her. Her eyes were not set on the outward, but instead she was set on the circumstances within her that looked like she was carrying and birthing and going to mother the Son of God. Her heart, her character, and her speech lined up with the adventure of Jesus. She knew that Jesus was the adventure. Let's read John chapter 19 and verse 16. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened it to the cross, and it read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Kings. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, divided them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. So I'm not sure about you, but when I think about that moment, and I don't know what it would be like to witness the crucifixion of your son, to witness the intense confrontation, the opposition, the ridicule that he experienced. I don't know what that would be like as a mom. I've not experienced that. But what I have experienced is my mother and her journey of cancer and her witnessing and me witnessing her being in pain and suffering and to endure that. I remember in 2018, I travelled from Melbourne to Sydney about 9 times from maybe mid-January until the end of March when she passed away. And during that time, I started to become anxious that I might not be there for her final breath. I wanted to be there with her. And at that time, I remember God whispering in my ear and he said, "She was there for your first breath and you will be there for her last breath." And I held on to that as truth. And so fast forward to the 28th of March, I had booked a flight and I was going to head up and see her again. And this time I was driving to the airport and I heard the news that she'd been taken by ambulance that morning to the hospital. So I arrived at the airport only to discover, and my sister was just like, "You need to get here really quickly, it doesn't look good." And so I arrived at the airport only to discover that my plane was delayed for an hour. I finally got on to the flight, and then we sat on the tarmac for another 45 minutes. And then I finally leave Melbourne, I land in Sydney, and I'm at the train station prepared to travel down to Wollongong, and I'm at the interchange, and because of the delays, I had missed the fast train to Wollongong. And so I'm at the entrance to the station, and I begin to have this overwhelming panic attack, and it's 38 degrees, I'm in the sun, and I'm heaving. And I'm like, "God, I don't know what to do. How will I get to my mum?" And I didn't know what to do. And I'm sweating and people are just walking by. No one notices except me. And I'd never caught an Uber and I realised I should catch an Uber. Yeah, so within 2 minutes, I had an Uber and I started to travel down to Wollongong. But no sooner had I got into the car, I opened my Coke bottle lid and it just went all over the dashboard. So we pull over and now we're cleaning his car of all the sticky soda that's in the car, yeah? But as we're driving down to Wollongong, this man, he just starts telling me about his life and how he had travelled from Iran to Australia and how he doesn't believe in God anymore and all of these different things about his life. And then he begins to ask me about my life and what do I do? And by the time, fast forward the conversation to when we get to the hospital, he said to me, "I have never heard anyone talk about a God that is so loving and kind and like he's a best friend. I want to know Jesus and I want to go to church." And I love that God used a sweaty mess. I did not look all pretty. I did not look all contained and together. But in that moment, he knew that something was going on with me. But he knew that there was this trust in Jesus. And I still, even in that moment, not sure if I would get there and be there for my mum's final breath, I was still sharing the love of Jesus. Yeah? And we can do that. So I arrive at the hospital. A couple of days later, my mum passed away. But during that time, she's just saying to me, "Can you just pray that the Father would open his arms to me, that I could go home to him?" And so we would pray those things. And I was there holding her hand for her final breath. And God fulfilled his promise to me because he said, "She was there for your first breath. You will be there for her last breath." In our suffering, God wants us to fully depend and lean on him. Within our own strength, our personal suffering can attempt to consume us, but we must rely on the Holy Spirit to guide and carry and sustain us. I remember Pastor Louise telling me at that time that someone had told her that they saw a vision of an angel covering me and shielding me from the full impact of the grief and the pain of losing my mum. And I wonder if this was God's way of overshadowing me, bringing me comfort and rest and covering me from the grief and the pain of losing her. And I wonder if Mary was not only overshadowed with the conception of Jesus, but also as she watched her son take his final breath, I wonder if she was continuing to be overshadowed. Deuteronomy 31:8 tells us that the Lord goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. When adversity comes, God has given us an open invitation to find comfort and peace in him, to not be afraid, to not be discouraged, to find rest in his breath, because he is the very breath we breathe. And God continues to overshadow us today by breathing the Holy Spirit upon us. The Greek words for the Holy Spirit coming upon and overshadowing Mary are the same words used for the Holy Spirit coming on the disciples. Can you hear him whispering? Get up, darling. Get up, my daughter. Get up, my son. Let's go on an adventure and discover this wonderful God who comes upon you and dwells inside you. John 19, verse 26 says, when Jesus is on the cross, he tells us that when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. Mary was the mother of Jesus, and although she was no longer carrying him, he called her right in that moment as she's witnessing his death. He says, carry another, take another son. And I think about when my mum passed away, and I realized a couple of months later that, oh my goodness, my mum used to pray for my children by name every single day. And yes, I pray for my children, but no one prays like a grandmother prays, yeah? And so I thought about that. And about a year later, Will Remington's mum passed away. And a couple of months after that, I had a dream. And I've asked his permission to share this. I had a dream, and in the dream, I won't give all the details, but I greeted Will like he was my own son and I had adopted him. And so in the days after that, I realized that God was talking to me about adopting this son in the house spiritually. And so long story short, we ended up being able to speak about that and we cried together. And I let him know that just as I pray for my children, every time I pray for them, I am praying for you like you're my own kid. And I will declare the promises and the favor and the presence of God over his life, just as I was do it for my own children. Can you hear the whisper of Jesus say, get up, mother, get up, father, we're going on an adventure. Perhaps you're wondering what the adventure is inside of you. When I think about this wonderful God who chose to put Jesus in a human and the Holy Spirit to dwell in a human, I think about this quote by Teresa of Avila, who was a Spanish nun from the 1500s. And it says, there is a secret place, a radiant sanctuary as real as your own kitchen, more real than that, constructed of the purest elements, overflowing with 10,000 beautiful things, worlds within worlds, forests, rivers, velvet coverlets thrown over feather beds, fountains bubbling beneath a canopy of stars, bountiful forests, universal libraries, a wine cellar offering an intoxication so sweet you will never want to be sober again. A clarity so complete, you will never again forget. This magnificent refuge is inside you. Enter. Shadow the darkness that shrouds the doorway. Believe the incredible truth that the beloved has chosen for his dwelling place, the core of your own being, because that is the single most beautiful place in all of creation. No wonder Mary could sing a song of praise and it pours out of her because she fully understood who was dwelling inside her, and that's where the adventure was. Do you know what's inside you? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is in you? Do you know that Jesus is in you? You have all the fullness of the kingdom of God dwelling within you. You have the great I am. You have the King of Kings. You have the Lord of Lords. You have the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You have the Almighty One. You have the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You have the one who calls you holy, living inside you. The one that is holy is calling you to be holy. You have the living, breathing, overshadowing God who calls you anointed, who calls you delivered, who calls you to be set free in the powerful name of Jesus. People of God, fear not your future. Hope is on the horizon. And you have this beautiful, radiant sanctuary dwelling inside you. It is dwelling within you, overflowing and bubbling into other people's lives that they too would know Jesus and that He is the adventure. Perhaps you're here today and you're wondering, how do I get to have this adventure? How do I get to know this Jesus that is dwelling inside us? How do I get to know Him too? It's actually as simple as accepting an invitation. As you heard earlier, I was a tomboy and I would seek adventure in all the wrong places, but my life was very much on the fast track to a very destructive life. And I remember when my parents decided to go to church when I was 14 years old. And I thought, okay, maybe I want God too. And I remember lying in bed one night. And as I was saying, God, I want to know you. Who are you? The sweet presence of His presence entered the room. And I felt His arms wrap around me and embrace me. And right in that moment, the ugliness that I felt on the inside, the shame and the things that I knew were not right in my life, right in that moment, I felt seen and I felt loved and I felt covered and I felt the grace of God in my life as a 14-year-old. And maybe you're aware, like I was, that you need a Savior too. And you're longing to be truly seen and loved. The Bible tells us that the Father loved us so much that He sent His only Son into the world to restore our relationship with Him. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. When Jesus went to the cross, He took upon Himself all the sins of every person, both past and present. And He's inviting us to give our sins and our rebellion to Him. He exchanges it for forgiveness, for salvation, for freedom and for healing and for relationship with Him. And today I'd like to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus into your life if you've not done that before and to have a relationship with Him. It will be the most wonderful, life-changing relationship you'll ever have. If you'd like to accept the invitation, I understand that my message is probably like you're thinking about this and your response will be more on the inside. If you want to raise your hand, you can, but we will pray at the end anyway. But simply by raising your hand or responding within your heart that it is, yes, I want to know Jesus. Together as a whole church, we will pray and we'll help you to invite Jesus into your life. And then someone from our Next Steps team will come to you and they'll give you a Bible and talk to you further about the step that you've taken. So if that's you and you're raising your hand on the inside or you're raising your hand outwardly, let's close our eyes for a moment. If you'd like to accept Jesus into your life and you want to know this God who dwells so beautifully within us, this God that is so willing to die on the cross for you, to take all your sins, to take all your mistakes so that you can live free, that you can be saved, that you can be restored, that you can be healed, and that you could know Him. If you would like to do that, you can raise your hand. Thank you. And for those that are responding on the inside, let's all pray together as a church. Dear Jesus, I accept the invitation to give my life to You. I believe that You came to give me life and life to the full, and that You died for me. I ask You to come inside me, forgive me of all my mistakes, and give me the strength to live a life that serves and honors You. And I thank You that from this moment, I have relationship with You, and you have become Lord of my life. Amen. So if you responded on the inside, but you would like to be prayed for and you would like a Bible, head out to the hub afterwards and someone will connect with you there. And as we wrap this message up, can you hear him whispering, "Get up, my darling. Get up, my beautiful one. Let's go on an adventure." He's inviting you and I to gaze upon him. And when you do, you'll see things start to shift and move in your life. That you would not just know him as a God that is out here, but you would know him as a God that is dwelling and living in all the fullness within your life. But you must gaze on him. Maybe today you're listening to this message and you too have felt overlooked, rejected, not seen. Maybe you're here and you've heard the news of something that you desperately need the faith and trust in God for. Or maybe you're seeking the outward adventure in all the wrong places. Today is your opportunity to exchange the natural circumstances for the supernatural, but you must gaze upon him. So let's stand together. And as the team worship, begin to put your trust in him, because fear is not your future, he is. Sickness is not your future, he is. Heartbreak is not your home, he is. And death is not the end, he is. Say yes to him and go on the adventure as you begin to worship. Lift up your voices and declare who the amazing, beautiful God is.